Welcome to Megabucks Radio. Conversations with successful entrepreneurs, sharing their tips and strategies for success. Real world ideas that can put Megabucks in your bank account. Here's your host, Nina Hershberger.
Well, welcome to today's show. This is your host, Nina Hershberger, and I have on the show today Dan Cricks. Dan is from Ohio, Northeast Ohio. He and I have known each other, Dan, what would you say, 15 years maybe or something like that?
At least 15, I would say.
At least. We are both marketing results from Dan Kennedy. We were part of the Dan Kennedy group, the GKIC group. And Dan has gone on and done some really fun and amazing things. And I'm honored to have him on today's show. So, Dan, let's go back in time, because I know you've been an entrepreneur since 1981. Tell us your beginning story.
Well, so in 1980, I decided that I didn't want to work for a large company anymore. I was working for Ford Motor Company, and I decided I wanted to start my own business. And by luck, I ended up buying a tavern, and I never thought I would, but I was in college at the time and looking at businesses that I could make some good money with, and that's where I went and got that going and left my job at Ford Motor Company, and I grew that business. And then another opportunity came along in the auto repair business, and I bought an auto repair business that was distressed, so I got it at a very good price, or I probably wouldn't have bought it, and had both of those for a while. And realized I couldn't continue to do both, and I sold the tavern and went with the auto repair business and took that business and doubled it in the first 18 months that I had it, and then bought another one, and then bought a repair only business. And when I had the repair only business, I ended up selling the other two because there was gas involved, and the oil companies were getting kind of crazy. Anyway, I had the repair only business, and that's when I met Dan Kennedy. And I started looking at some of the things that he was doing. I was always into marketing, but I didn't really know how to market the right way, let's put it that way. And so when I got connected with Dan, I was reading everything I could get, everything that he put together, and I went to one of the events. I think the first one I went to was an Info Summit, and I wrote you'll appreciate this, Nina. I wrote my first sales letter, and to mail out to my list. And I never had written a sales letter before, and I wrote this. And because I was having such a tough time with my business, I couldn't mail them all out at once. So I mailed 25 at a time because that's what I could afford to do. And the results were astonishing. And so I started growing my business, and I was able to mail more and more of them. And that very first sales letter that I did, I had an investment of about $1,500, and it brought in over $47,000 worth of business.
Wow, that's fantastic. But you know what? What I heard you say, even in the very first auto business you had, you doubled that business. So even without knowing some of those, you obviously had a real penchant for doing the marketing stuff.
Yeah, well, a lot of it was hard work, and in that business, the bar wasn't too high, you know what I mean? So I didn't have to be really good. But then when I wanted to go to the next level, I did need to be better. And so once I began to learn, again, from Dan Kennedy and Bill Glazer, things really started to take off for me. And so much so, Nina, that other businesses that other people that knew me who had businesses said, hey, what are you doing? I was having some great success during our last economic downturn in 08 and 09. And my business was still growing. And so I started having people asking about it and said, hey, would you help me with my business? And I
did. And you still have the auto repair business at that time?
Yes.
Do you still have it now?
No, I don't. No, I sold that when I became a full-time info marketer. And here's a fun story. One of my first clients was an attorney. And he asked me if I would help him. He wanted to go from – he was a prosecuting attorney, and he wanted to go into private practice, which he had, but he wasn't getting any growth going on, so he asked me to help him. And I was really apprehensive because, you know, they have a lot of rules when it comes to marketing, and it's a different profession. And so I talked to Dan Kennedy about it. And Dan said, the only way you're going to get that attorney to respect you is to charge more money for your services than he charges for his. And I thought, oh, wow. So I decided to do that because I didn't really care if I got him as a client or not. I wasn't too sure I wanted to do that. So when I proposed it to him, he said, wow, you charge more than I do. And I said, that's because I'm worth more than you are.
Well, that's a great story.
And so he brought me on board. And I did a couple of ads for him. And here's the fun part. And you know this. When the first ad went out, within the first couple of days, he had his peers calling him up complaining about the ad. His peers were. And he called me. He goes, oh, we got to do something. Everyone's complaining. I said, who's complaining? He goes, other attorneys. I said, that's good. That's good. If they don't like it, that means they're worried about it. And we were doing things that no other attorneys were doing. And it was almost kind of exposing them for what they weren't doing. Anyway, it took him from just trying to get his practice started to growing his practice to the point where he had to bring in a partner. And so that was my very first time in the info marketing business outside of the auto repair group. I work with auto repair shop owners all over the country. But then I got working with others outside of that group. And since then, I've worked now with over 140 different business categories, from doctors and dentists and lawyers and construction businesses, retail, restaurant, all of that.
So that's fascinating. So let's say I just found out about Dan Cricks. I'm intrigued. I own, dental office. So now I'm gonna. I gave you a call and I said I'm interested. What would you start me at? What do you? Is there a certain path that you take your clients through?
Actually, there is. So when I have someone who is interested, I send them a 3-page questionnaire. And what this does is it allows me to learn a little bit about them and their business, as far as their business and what they know, as far as marketing and what they have in place and so on. And it also helps them to see where some of their shortcomings are, what they don't know how to do. And from that questionnaire, then we'll have about a 30-minute conversation. And at that point, I can figure out if we're a fit. Okay. And so there are times I won't take clients on for different reasons, and they need to know that I'm a fit for them too. And so part of that whole process allows them to see, learn what I know and where I can, if I can help them, and then how I might be able to help them.
What's the number one thing? Do they have to be willing to listen? I mean, oftentimes people will say, well, that won't work. You don't understand, Dan. My business is different.
Oh, you bet. You've been around a while, Nina.
I have been, you know. So you've got to have somebody who says, okay, what I've been doing hasn't worked, at least to the level that I want it to work. You seem to know something I don't know, so I'm going to trust you and do what you say. Is that the kind of person you're looking for?
Yes. And in that process that I shared with you, I go in and give them several examples of other businesses similar to theirs that I have been able to get results with. So one of the things that I do as a kind of an entry level is I will put together a campaign for them. They're going to pay me for it, but not the going rate, if you will. And I guarantee that campaign will bring in 10 times my fee, or I'll refund their money. And so, you know, folks are so cynical today. They've been burned by so many people, especially in the marketing realm. They'll pay them a lot of money and they don't deliver, or they don't deliver something that works well for them. And so when I throw that guarantee at them, it's pretty hard to say no to, because they really don't have anything to lose. And basically what that is I'll prove to you that I can get you results. And when I do that with this one, it's a 30-day campaign. And when I do that, then we'll talk about bringing me on a regular basis.
So you say you don't charge them for the 30-day, or you do and then give them the money back guarantee?
No, I do charge them. But I don't charge them. I give them a reduced price on it, if you will. Okay. So I do charge them. And because, you know, if you don't charge, they don't value it. And
they don't value, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not going to do what I need them to do on their end. So I charge them, and it's usually a fee that most people can afford. But again, the guarantee is I'll bring in 10 times what I charge you in sales for you, or I'll refund your money. I have never had to make a refund.
So when you say campaign, do you mean an email campaign, a direct mail campaign, a combo? What do you mean by the word campaign?
A multimedia campaign usually involves print, email, and social media.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not online, offline. It's both and
right.
Social media. Yeah.
Right.
You know, Dan, I love success stories. Tell me some more.
Well, so I'll tell you one that's really kind of fun, because you made the comment before, but you don't understand. My business is different, and so that won't work in my business. So this is kind of an interesting one. I had a gentleman reach out to me about my mastermind group, and I gave him the information, and then I saw in his signature that he his business was located in Chicago. So I asked him, I said, you know, I'm in Ohio, and he was interested in the mastermind group, which is an in-person mastermind group. And I said, you realize I'm in Ohio? And he said, yeah, I'm moving to Indiana, and I'm going to start my chiropractic business in Indiana. And I said, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, so it's only about a four and a half hour drive. I have no problem with that. I thought, okay, if you're willing to do that. And he joined. And here's the other fun thing that made this really interesting, was he was in Amish country. So he was going to an Amish town, starting a chiropractic practice, never have lived there before, and he's in Amish country. So they don't have online. They don't have TV. They don't have social media. And so he was in the mastermind group about two or three months. And the other kind of cool thing is he went to Amish country. This guy was born and raised in New York. So you can imagine the different personalities, right? And he was a typical New Yorker, you know. When he talked to you, he wanted a breakneck pace and everything. So after about 2 or 3 months of messing with me, he goes, how can I move a little faster? And I said, well, if you want to come on board as a private consulting client, we can go as fast as you want to go. Well, he did. And in the first year in business, we grew his practice from zero to $2.1 million.
Oh, my goodness.
In Amish country. Okay.
From a New Yorker.
Yeah. And so, you know, I keep mentioning in Amish country because everybody thinks, oh, well, it's got to be online. Everything's got to be online. This guy had nothing online. There was no reason to. One of the reasons he was leaving Chicago was he had 3 kids and he wanted them to be grow up in a better place than Chicago. And he didn't want to deal with the rat race of dealing with insurance companies. And so, yeah, after about month 9 or 10, I called him. We had a call scheduled. And I said, how are things going? He goes, oh, I got a problem. And I said, what's that? He said, I'm taking in too much cash. That was my response right there. I started laughing. And he goes, no, I'm serious. And I said, what do you mean? And what was going on was he had to hire for receptionists, Amish young ladies. They were working. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not used mm-hmm. to a fast pace. And you can imagine doing $2.1 million. That's a pretty good pace of business. Mm-hmm. Well, most of the Amish are paying in cash. So things were happening so quick that they couldn't keep up. So they would just take people's cash and throw it in a drawer.
Oh, and they had no idea who paid or not paid.
Exactly right. So, you know, that was his dilemma. The other thing is with that kind of cash coming in like that, you know, in today's banking business, he would set off a lot of alarms for depositing those large sums of cash. But because he was in Amish country, not so much, because they're pretty much all a cash business there. And so it was definitely a success story. And I was able to do some things that he told me we couldn't do in Amish country.
And give me an example. Give me an example, one thing.
So the place... One of the few places that you can advertise is they have their Amish directories. And they're really kind of like a newsletter that goes out every other month. But in there, the biggest part of that is a directory of all the businesses. So he was in there, and I said, wow, we got to get you to stand out. And he goes, well, you can't do it any different. I said, well, first of all, we're going to change the copy, and we did some of that. And I said, and then I want to use larger size font than all the rest of you. Oh, they won't let you do that. And then I told him, I said, and I want to bold a couple of things. Oh, no, you can't do that. I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give them what I'm giving you and tell them that you would like them to run it like this. And he said, okay. I said, if they don't, they don't. Well, when he first gave it to them, they looked at it and said, oh, I don't know if we can do this. And he said, well, couldn't you try? And they said, well, let me check with and blah, blah. Well, they did it. And they did what I wanted them to do, and his ad was jumping off the page. And here's the other thing you got to know. Those publications were all black and white. So it, you know, we had to find a way to stand out. Okay, among all that other copy in there, black and white copy, that everyone else was doing it the way they'd always done it for the last 10, 15, 20 years. No one dared to push the envelope. And I dared to push the envelope. And his ads were jumping out of the publications. And because some of them, they were bigger than the rest. Some of them, there was bolding. And so, you know, when you got a wall of text, it's not that hard to jump out if you just make a couple things. And then the other thing is I use the direct response principles in some of the marketing by telling them what I wanted them to do and putting an offer in there that was good for a limited amount of time.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You're saying all black and white and you have to stand out. It's the same thing in the color world because everybody thinks it has to be color, color, color. the moment you turn it into black and white in the color world, you stand out. So that's a fascinating story.
Yeah, and that was a fun one. That was a fun one, just to watch his business explode and grow. We did a number of other things. That wasn't all we did, but that was one of the big things that we did.
I'd love to hear another idea, if you don't mind sharing.
Well, sure. So another thing that I had him do, and again, you have to know your audience, and you have to market to your audience. And so Amish aren't big on doctors. They're not big on medicine and drugs and that kind of stuff. So we marketed against that. And then we went to other businesses that were congruent with that. So there was a health food store there. And we got a relationship going with that health food store and said, hey, would you mind if we put some flyers on your counter with treatments to help your customers? And he said, sure. And then I told him we needed to, I wanted him to do a newsletter, which he agreed to. And I said, how about if we offer them the newsletter with their ad in the newsletter? It'll go out to his patients, but we'll also put copies on their counter. So, and these folks are readers. Okay,
yeah.
Because they're not sitting there online. They're not watching TV. You know what I'm saying? So they're readers. So those newsletters were flying off the shelf. So that was a way for him to get access to their customers who were a good fit for him because they were homeopathic. They were all about natural cures. And as you know, with a chiropractor, they're not about, hey, let's take this anti-inflammatory or this painkiller. They're all about natural fixes. And it was as hard as they work. They needed chiropractic once they learned that it could help them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, you spoke about newsletters, and I know, Dan, that you're kind of the king of newsletters. Let's transition into them. Talk to me about newsletters and how important those are in any business.
Well, yeah, so they are. I currently write 4 different newsletters every month, which is probably why you said what you said. And 2 of them go out nationally. One is local and one is international. And what makes newsletters so important for any business owner is it allows you, it gives you the opportunity to stay in front of your clients on a regular basis without just selling to them, okay? You're showing up at their door and in their inbox because we also make digital versions of the newsletters that we write for our clients. And it allows you to show up without just selling. So the newsletter will have some fun stuff in it and some educational things. So it allows us to tell them about our business and about our service and or products that we offer. So any business can do that. And you know, a lot of people take for granted that their clients know what all they offer or what their business is all about. And that is so not true. That's one of the biggest things. Everybody thinks that everyone knows as much about their business as they do. And so I'll give you an example. I was doing a newsletter when I had my repair shop, and it was called Brookgate Tire and Auto. So we were a tire store and an auto repair. And when you came in our front door, there was a display of at least a dozen different tires. We would literally have people walk in, give us their keys, give us their information, say, oh, by the way, do you sell tires?
And there they are right there, huh?
Exactly. And so I would say, yeah, I have a couple over here. But the point is, people are people. They're busy. They came in there with blinders on. They were thinking about, okay, now I got to get to work. My boss has got this project for me, or I hope it's going to be a good day, or I got to get back home for when the kids are going to be home. They're not sitting there thinking about our business. And when they leave, they're not thinking about our business. So with our newsletter showing up every month, it helps us keep front of mind consciousness with them. And it allows us to educate them in a fun and friendly way about different things that we do. And one of the keys to a good newsletter is it has to have some aspects of entertainment to it. So we'll always put some fun things in there, a funny story or a couple of funny cartoons or what have you. And what that does is it keeps it in their hands for a while. You know what I mean? They don't just look it over and pitch it. They'll keep it, maybe tell somebody about a joke or not necessarily read it all at once. It hangs around.
And so, you know, until postage went up recently, I'd say, because I always like print newsletters that are just black toner or ink on a colored piece of paper. Do not make them four color, in my opinion. You can make it two color, but otherwise. So I would say it would be a dollar in the mail. Now the postage has gone up, I've gone to a dollar and a quarter. So if you can't spend, you know, $12, $15 a year for, you know, your clients, you've got to work on your numbers.
That's exactly right. And, you know, there's a lot of people make that, I don't know if I can afford that. So what I do with the ones that I'm working with is I say, okay, so, you know, you can't really afford it. Let's take your list and let's do just the top 20% of your list. And we'll start there. And that's what I did with my auto repair business. I couldn't afford to do my whole list of 1,800 at that time. So I started out with 300. And then it was helping my business grow. A few months later, it was at 500. And when I sold my shop, I was sending 1,100 a month out. And but you know, a lot of the growth came because of newsletters. And you know, you talk about that $15 a month. I usually will include an insert, so I'm between $1.25 and $1.50. And I'm like you; I like to do it on different color paper. So, like February, we did a light pink color paper. In March, we'll do a light green colored paper. Around Thanksgiving, we'll do a kind of a sand color paper, you know, to coincide with that time of year. And I had a client come to a live event when I did my auto repair event, and we did ahas at the end of the event, and the guy stood up there and he goes, you know, I've known Dan a long time. Well, Nina, I had never met that man. His shop was okay. I'm serious. His shop was located in Oregon, okay? And he got on something that I did, a webinar or teleseminar, and I collected his information and put him on my email, on my newsletter list. And he goes, I've known Dan a long time, and this is the first time I had a chance to be at one of his events. That man ended up signing up for an $18,000 coaching program.
Now, oh, my goodness.
I sent him a newsletter probably for 3 years. So I invested about $50 in him, and it returned me $18,000. And then he stayed a client for a number of years. That $50 investment turned into over $50,000, and primarily because of the newsletter. I marketed my event through that newsletter. And had I not stayed in touch with him, and here's the key, he felt like he knew me because of the newsletters. I mean, he literally said, I've known Dan for a long time, and I never, you know, disputed that. But that's what the newsletter allows you to do, is to kind of come into their place of business or their home, and they get to feel like they know who you are because of the different things that you're putting in there.
You and I would say, don't make it complicated. Make it a simple newsletter. You know, don't make it fancy. Just get on it and start typing.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that I learned, Nina. I had a client for a long time who was doing her own newsletter, and then she got sick and it didn't happen for a month or two. And so I was talking to her. I do newsletters for folks. Okay. That's one of parts of my business. I do a done for them newsletter, and we'll even customize it, but they can have it either way where they take and customize it. But when I talked to her, I said, how much time are you spending doing that newsletter every month? She said, 8 to 10 hours.
Now, like, oh, my.
Yeah, exactly. And she goes, I can't do it any other way. And so that was the last thing that got done. Well, after she got sick and it wasn't happening, she got on board and started using my newsletter. And she did her own customization. That made her feel better. And she spent about 30 minutes then getting it out every month because we provided most of the content. And the other thing that is key to a newsletter, in my opinion, is have as much in there as you can about your clients.
So no, that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, yeah. We would recognize clients for successes. You know, you said earlier you love to hear success stories. Well, so do I. But when I hear them, I want to put them in that newsletter because other people like success stories too. And your clients especially like it when you recognize their success story. And we would thank people. We would put comments that they would make in there. So in at least three and usually four different areas, we would have places where we would bring our clients into the newsletter for different reasons. If we found out they did some amazing charity work or whatever, we would call that out. And so then people got to the point where they were looking for that kind of stuff in the newsletter.
It's interesting. So, you know, Dan would always say, use animals in your marketing. So in 2010, I hired a humor writer. He's a syndicated writer. His columns are read by over 3 million people a month. But he writes for me since every month, since 2010, however many months that is, my dog blog. So I have a little schnauzer by the name of Max, and Max has written this blog every month since 2010. In fact, one time, the writer that writes it, I said to him, I said, you know, do me a favor, would you pick out, oh, I don't remember how many I said, 30, whatever, of the blogs you've written, and I'm going to put them into a book, and I'm going to put it up on Amazon. So if you go on Amazon under my name, you're going to find a dog named Max's book, Tales from a Dog Named Max. But it's been my experience in all of my newsletters and my client newsletters, having a dog column can also be one of the most read. Because he's a great humor writer, and it's very difficult to write humor on him every month basis. But so if you have a pet, add the pet to your newsletter as well.
Absolutely, and it doesn't have to be a dog, although I'm a big dog person. But do you remember the story of Allie Brown? You remember Allie Brown?
I know Allie Brown, but I don't know the story, no.
One of the things that really got her kicked off was she was writing, I don't remember if it was a blog post or a newsletter, and she made a comment that if there's a typo here, my cat jumped up on my keyboard while I was on the... all she said. Well, all of a sudden, she was getting all these people. I didn't know you were a cat person. Oh, my gosh. If I'd have known that, I'd have bought your whatever a long time ago. If you're a cat person, you have to be a good... And that was the beginning of her... business taking off.
Right. Oh, that is, that is funny.
Huh? Yeah.
Several years ago, my son was between jobs. And so he was going to look for a new job. But, you know, of course, he had listened to me enough to know that the best things is not to go online and just do what everybody else does. So finally, I said to him one day, I said, would you like me to put together a direct mail campaign? And he said, yes, and I won't bore you with all the story. Actually, I've given that story many times in my million-dollar mailing presentation I've given internationally. But anyway, so one of the letters came from Max.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In that letter sequence of that stuff, we put a little dog bone in case the person right getting the letter had a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dan, I know I want to, the last thing, because I'm looking at the time, and boy, we are out of time, but I don't want to miss the fact that what you're doing right now oftentimes is you become business owners' chief marketing strategist. Can you explain to those listening what that might mean to them in case they might be interested?
Yeah, and Nina, that was actually born out of a need. And I was hearing from more and more business owners who had someone helping them with their social media or doing their social media for them. And then someone else did their website, and someone else took care of their email marketing. And I even had one client say, I feel like it's good to get someone who specializes in each one of those, which is not necessarily bad, okay? But what I found out when I went to look at their business, and remember I mentioned that questionnaire to you? This
yep.
is where it was revealed in the questionnaire. Their marketing was all over the place. So none of it was matching up. What they were putting on social media looked different than what was on their website. So if someone left social media and went to their website, there was something totally different. And so as a chief marketing strategist, what I do is help bring all of those different marketing media in to be congruent so that they get a clearer message and people aren't confused when they go from one to the other. Because usually if someone's thinking about using a business, if they find them on social media, they're going to go look at their website. They're going to go check them out. And so I put together sometimes as their chief marketing strategist for them, I'll put together a campaign that goes out via print, email, social media, and on their website. Okay? But if I don't paying together, I look at all those different media for them and get them to be more congruent and then get them to integrate direct response marketing. And that is huge because a lot of these folks that they're hiring don't know what direct response marketing is, and they're doing brand marketing. And most small to medium-sized businesses can't afford brand marketing like Pepsi or Coke or Ford or GM. They can't afford to do that. So direct response marketing, one of the keys is to you can track results and how you're getting it, and it tells the people what you want them to do. Go to my website and click here or use this QR code to do this. And so as a chief marketing strategist, I pull all those things together for them and get them to have a more focused marketing. You know, some businesses, when they're all over like that, it looks like they're marketing everything that they have. And a confused consumer usually won't do anything. If they're confused, they won't make a decision. And so as their chief marketing strategist, I pull that all together for them.
Yeah, no, that is so smart. So that we are out of time, but I do know that you have a special offer for those that are listening. Can you share the offer?
I sure do, and I put this together just for your group, Nina. We mentioned newsletters, and so I write a newsletter every month called The Marketing Edge that goes out internationally along with Dan Kennedy's gold letter. And it goes out all over the world. And it's an 8-page marketing newsletter that's a little more in depth. It's not a free newsletter because I get pretty in depth with it and things that they can walk away and use right then. And so if your folks want to give it a try, they can use, when they go, I'll give you the URL in a second, but by using the code NINA, N-I-N-A, all caps, it will give them a discount off of that. So the newsletter is normally $29.97, and they can get it at greatresultsmarketing.com/TME, as in the marketing edge, greatresultsmarketing.com/TME. And so when they get there and put their info in and get ready to check out, there's a place for a code and all they have for a discount code. If they put in NINA, N-I-N-A, they'll get that for only $9.95. Plus, if they do it by the end of this month, I have a free special report I'm going to send them, the 7 strategies to help you keep from being ambushed by the current inflation crisis?
Wow, that's very generous, Dan. And it's been such an honor to have you on the show today. I've been writing down notes, you know. So many times we've heard things, but we forget. And, you know, we think, oh, man, why haven't I been doing that? I always say, what is it that you used to do that you're not doing anymore, that used to make you, you know, do really well? Why aren't you doing it? Well, you know, that's why you take these kind of notes. So anyway, thank you for being on today's show. It's been an honor to have you as a guest.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I'm glad that I finally got to be on the show with the legendary Nina Hershberger. You're everywhere, and so I feel like this is a new plateau for me. So thank you very much.
No, you're too kind. Well, thank you. So this is Nina Hershberger reminding you to go out and make it a great day. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Megabucks Radio with Nina Hershberger. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, visit megabucksradio.com.